awesome morning party.
Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Hey, y'all.
Good morning.
I want you guys to know what Steve-O's laughing at.
Oh, man.
A couple weeks ago?
Justice.
We talked about... Well, Celeste, our afternoon girl, put up a story about this police sketch.
Incredible!
It was like the worst police sketch ever.
Yeah.
It pretty much looked like somebody had drawn a Muppet baby.
That's exactly what it looks like.
And somehow, they found the guy off of the police sketch.
Yeah, you've got to get to our Facebook page.
Yeah, I'm going to pin it to the top. Man, that is hilarious.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Welcome to your Wednesday.
Yeah.
Team Awesome Morning Party hanging out with you, which means Shock Therapy Live coming up in the 9 o'clock hour.
Nate.
My voice is starting to get scratchy.
No, but Nate is better.
Yes. So that's good.
Man, your voice is getting scratchy. I'm starting to get a lot better.
That's really good. See, what's happening here is that you're going to get better just in time for me to get sick because I can feel it.
No.
Ah!
Reject it.
I do. I reject it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Now succumb to it. No!
It is Wednesday. We've got Max from Astro Zombies joining us for Comics Corner today, and it was a big day for comics, so we're going to talk about that.
Oh, it was.
Got a bunch of comics to get through. We got a lot to talk about today. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
But if you've ever been curious about police artist sketches and if they actually work, no matter how terrible the 7-year-old that drew it is, check out the story.
You need to go
at our Facebook page. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio.
MyStaticRadio.
Dude, last night, new episode of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yes.
Gotta talk about that.
Oh, my gosh. Because it was actually pretty good.
Stan Lee made a guest appearance.
He did.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. And the way it was filmed was pretty cool. Like the style of storytelling.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I really enjoyed it.
You can tell they were like, hey, man, Arrow's pretty awesome.
We gotta up our game.
We gotta do this.
They do this thing where they do flashbacks on an island.
Ooh.
And then it like correlates with the story that's happening in real time. We should tell the story and then go back and like let it catch up to itself and correlate the story with where it's going.
And they do this thing where they have characters from the universe.
Mm-hmm.
We should introduce a character from the comics.
And they have like fighting styles that don't look like 1960s martial arts movies that look terrible.
Hi-ya!
So let's up our game there as well.
It looks like it worked.
Also, let's kill people.
Yes.
And they went for it.
It was a good episode. We just talked about it a lot. But we'll talk about it more later.
Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, of course. Hey, 6:45, we do something called birthdays.
Hey.
If you have a loved one you would love to get a birthday shout-out to, send us an email, studio@mystaticradio.com. That's our studio email. Imagine that. studio@mystaticradio.com goes to the studio. And we take birthday requests. We take song requests. We'll take questions because Shock Therapy Live is coming up and Theology Thursday tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to Theology Thursday after last night. CNN.com held a debate between Bill Nye, the science guy, and Ken Ham from the Creation Museum. And it was interesting.
It was interesting.
I've got a lot of questions for B-Nizzle.
It was fascinating.
Yeah.
It was frustrating.
Yeah.
And it was fun.
There you go.
The three F's of
Fellowship.
Debate. Fellowship.
Kentucky. They were in Kentucky, right?
Yes.
They kept referencing Kentucky, and I was like,
they were
okay.
In Kentucky. That's where that Creation Museum is.
Okay.
I think there might be more than one of them, but that's his.
That's the headquarters.
That's his, Creation Museum.
Yeah, so very interesting. We'll talk about that as well. If you watched it, get ready for Thursday for Theology Thursday,
because
I definitely want to dive into it a little bit more than it was delved into last night.
Yeah, because you can talk about it with us today if you want to, but we're probably just going to be like, why don't we talk about this on Thursday some more? It's fine if we want to talk about it today.
Yeah,
no
absolutely.
Problem, but we don't have any answers for you. It's going to be more questions.
I can't tell you why rubidium is a viable way to... carbon date something.
Yeah.
I
and
can't.
I still have no idea what Ken Ham meant by kinds. I'm so confused.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm still...
He made it so clear. I thought that was easy.
Well, I missed part of his thing.
You did.
Yeah.
It wasn't species. It was kinds. So, like, there's the cat, and then there's, like, the house cat and the lion, and there's
okay.
All the... And they were trying to show different species, and different kinds, and that's scripture. I mean, he was using scriptural terms, got so it was like, we're not going to get into this.
Yeah.
Okay. I was bored when he was talking about it, both of them. coming up at 6:30, we got breaking news.
Woo!
Of course, it's Wednesday, so hump day!
There it is!
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static!
Turn on the news!
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
Breaking news for you today! Her nice hair! Hurty Furton!
Hurty Furton! Furton! Did you just become like the Swedish chef?
Yeah. The U.S. may mandate talking cars by 2017.
Oh, good. I thought they already had talking cars. The door is ajar.
Get back to me when it's a flying car, U.S. government.
Yeah!
A new disease in starfish causes them to rip themselves apart.
Okay.
It's probably the flu, because that's exactly what I've been wanting to do for the past 3 days.
Rip yourself apart?
Yep.
You know what you needed to do?
What?
Sex. Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Oh. We watched a debate last night. If you didn't watch it, then you have no idea.
No.
What just happened. Sorry. You should go get a play-by-play
of
the debate.
That's why we have that. To cure bacteria.
Oh, man. It was announced that Katie Couric's wedding will take place this summer. Wow. Great. Cool. The Super Bowl on Sunday was the most watched TV event in U.S. history.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
What a game.
Ugh.
One of those teams got bowled over.
Yeah, they did. It was terrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
It was the Broncos that got bowled over.
Yeah, it was. Yes.
Just in case anybody missed it. A new study finds that even people of normal weight suffer health problems from too much sugar. I looked this up yesterday.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's not just, you don't just get fat anymore. They're like, no. The more sugar you eat, the more likely you're going to get, like, cardiovascular, like, debilitating things.
I was eating handfuls of jelly beans yesterday. Why are you telling me this today?
It was saying, like, the equivalent of a Coke a day.
Ugh.
If you keep rocking it, it'll get you.
Great!
Y'all, be careful what you're putting in your body.
Yeah.
In Saudi Arabia, a 1,300-pound man was ordered by the king to lose weight who dropped... Oh, he has dropped 700 pounds.
Wow!
A man was ordered by the king to lose weight. What is this?
Obviously not America, because then people would have just told the king that he was fat shaming him, and he would have had to,
hey, that's cyberbullying!
Yeah.
You bullying me. That's not my... You ain't got
crazy.
That right. That is crazy.
And he lost 700 pounds?
That's pretty... Yeah. Man... Okay, I know it's in Saudi Arabia, but all I can think of right now is like King Arthur going,
"You, sir,
yeah.
I order you, by order of the king, you are to lose your belly."
That's crazy.
Yeah. Man. And he did it. 700 pounds.
He was how many pounds before?
1,300 pounds.
Oh, so he's a healthy 600 pounds now?
Gosh. Think about that. How big is that guy? I'm looking that up. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Don't worry, guys. I'm going to look that up. It was reported that Justin Bieber was trying to find a place to get baptized the other day. He's supposedly very religious. Well, when he was a kid, he used to talk about Jesus a lot.
Yeah, we...
When I say when he was a kid. When he was a younger kid.
That was like Jack this last week. When I was a kid... Wait, when you were a kid, you're 10.
You're a kid, bro.
You're
10 years old. Yeah, but when I was a kid.
When I was a kid, though. But when I was a kid.
Oh, man, he's growing up.
Because the Bible says so.
Boom! Anyway, Justin Bieber used to talk. Mitch is the expert on Bieber.
Yeah, well, I saw Never Say Never.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Steve-o?
I know, I'm sorry.
What happened?
I had little kids at the time.
No, if you look at me and you say, I saw, what was the MJ documentary?
Oh, yeah.
That was.
Yeah.
Then that's acceptable for an adult.
Right.
That's fine.
Right. No. Here's what happened. We went to the movie theater. Not kidding. Voyage of the Dawn Treader was also out at the exact same time at the movie theater. We were going to see that, and we got there, and Voyage of the Dawn Treader had already started.
Aww.
And it was like, oh, it started? What? Because we were running late, so I was like... Well, I guess we should go. And I was like, but we're at the movie theater. We're going to see a movie. Justin Bieber movie starts in 15 minutes. Oh.
No.
Oh.
No.
What have I done? Thou hast forsaken me, Lord.
No.
Yeah, we watched it. And he really did. Man, every scene, it was like he was praying, or you know, before he was hanging out with his friends, and before he let somebody rock a slice of pizza, whoa, 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 we got to pray for the food. We got, I mean, it was prayer, prayer, prayer. Grew up, yeah, man. Christian home.
Changed a little bit.
Just a touch.
But you know,
fame will do
people
that.
Go through, yeah, they go through that phase when they get crazy famous.
Yeah.
Some people, not even when they're famous.
Yeah.
A new European Union says that Europe is awash in corruption.
Mmm.
They ought to come over to the good old U.S. and A.
I believe that, man. We saw Sherlock. Woo. I mean, you see the corruption at that level.
You see it. You're like, dang, all those people are spying on all those other people. This never happens in our country. Good thing we're freedom or whatever. Olive Garden? What? Oh, check this out. Olive Garden is running a special promotion February 7th. Parents can drop their kids off at my gym.
Never.
And then go to a dinner date at the restaurant.
Nope.
And they will pay the babysitting tab.
Wow.
Man, factual information for you right now, but it sounds to me like that's stupid.
I'm not sure that I would allow Olive Garden to choose my babysitter.
Nah, this is a cash grab, because the company that owns like Olive Garden and Red Lobster and all those restaurants, it came out recently that like Red Lobster's closed.
Yep.
They're all shutting down, and I think this company's going under, so they're like scrambling. Oh, yeah. No!
So here's wise thing to do. You're about to go out of business. What you do is you start paying for babysitters so people will come to your restaurant. Wait, that doesn't make sense. So we need Scott up in here. My brother Scotty needs to come in here and deliver some Scotty economics.
He does.
Only we can't until his mouth gets a little better.
Yeah. Scotty economics. They're not just clean. They're not clean yet.
Yeah.
They'll get there, though.
Yeah. I'm trying to clean them up.
Clean them up.
Gosh.
America is facing a commercial pilot shortage. So if you're a commercial pilot out there, you're short. And I'm sorry. President Obama tried to shoot a video with an iPad. Sometimes presidents are just like us. Tuesday was one of those days when Obama tried to shoot some video with an iPad and ended up looking pretty dumb. On a visit to Maryland Middle School, where he announced a massive new public-private partnership aimed at boosting high-speed internet access for America's students, the president toured a classroom where students were using iPads as part of their coursework. Obama grabbed one of the devices, tried to start filming the students, then the press corps and his assembled staff. He forgot to press record, however. When a student pointed it out, Obama said, "Oh, I haven't been recording this whole time." Obama said the student whose iPad he grabbed, "I thought you already had it on record, Kevin." And once Kevin helped the president press record, he was able to go about making his iPad video. It's funny to me, man. Anytime we play a show, House of Heroes, and then people come up and ask for pictures.
Oh, man.
And it's never a ton of people.
Right.
If they come up and they're like, "Hey, can we get a picture?" And somebody holds up an iPhone, inevitably there's going to be the one person that goes, it's a video. It's a video. And you're like, "It's an iPhone. How can you not get that right? It's made so a kid can see it. Babies get it right.
Brody gets it right.
Brody takes videos. He's making, he's got like apps and he's making movies out of them." It's crazy.
Oh, man. Amazing.
Oh, man.
Amazing.
Okay, so on the Super Bowl, there was an ad that really got people up in a tizzy.
Oh, Coke.
That's right. Viewers of this year's Super Bowl likely saw the Coca-Cola commercial with people of all different backgrounds singing America the Beautiful in their native languages. The underlying message, of course, was unity.
Right.
But
hey, it united a lot of people in Mississippi.
Oh, yeah. They were definitely unified. I don't think they unified the way Coke wanted them to. But some people managed to find a way to hate it.
Of course.
Now someone's created a new version featuring languages that didn't make the cut. In the first Coca-Cola ad, this new version includes people singing in Klingon and Pig Latin.
Amazing.
America. If you don't like something, just make fun of it.
Oh, man.
Good grief. McDonald's has revealed how its chicken nuggets are made. Chicken McNuggets. This is a big deal because this has been a huge point of controversy for the past few years. A while back, there were photos and videos going around that showed what McDonald's Chicken McNuggets are made from. Some weird pink goop.
Yep.
No doubt a lot of quote unquote meat items on fast food menus and on grocery shelves are made of the pink goop, but apparently not McNuggets. To prove that its McNuggets are not made from the pink stuff, McDonald's Canada released a behind-the-scenes video of its nugget production facility in Ontario, Canada. According to the video, the McNuggets are actually made from fresh chicken breast meat. The chicken breast is first ground up together with chicken skin and seasoning, after which it is shaped and covered with a light and heavy batter. Once coated with the batter, they are partially cooked, frozen, then shipped to McDonald's restaurants to be cooked and served to customers. I don't believe it. You know why I don't believe it? Because it's taken this long for them to make a video.
Right.
Which to me says somebody was like, oh no, we got to start making them out of real chicken. Right. All right, we need approximately a year and a half to get this ready.
Yep.
That's how long it took. I made that up.
Fast food.
Fast food, babies.
Ugh.
British chef Adam Simmons, luxury website, very first something, and great British chefs have created the world's most expensive Valentine's Day dinner.
Oh, great.
You ready for this?
I guess.
Because you're ready for Valentine's.
I'm so not.
You are ready.
9 days away, gentlemen.
Look
Nine.
At me in my face. You are ready.
Okay.
You need to admit that to yourself, because you... Well, you no, you're not ready.
I'm not
Let's
ready.
Be honest. You need to be.
I have failed.
You need to get on this. The delicacies in this meal include Almas white caviar, some fancy oysters, including pearls. Pearls included.
Wow.
Bluefin tuna, gold leaf, and more. The dinner also includes a drinks menu with some very expensive wine that helps bump up the price. Guess how much it is.
Okay.
Most expensive Valentine's dinner.
Real pearls.
Real pearls. Very expensive
Very
wine.
Very expensive wine.
Bluefin tuna.
Bluefin tuna. Set you back $25,000 a plate.
Close.
Oh, okay.
$99,600.
Oh, my gosh!
Just shy of $100,000. Not the candy bar. Actual moolah. You can have this Valentine's dinner. Also, a world of debt.
Oh, gosh. That's per person.
That is per...
That's a plate.
Person!
Gonna cost you a couple hundred grand. That's insane.
Ugh. Gone are the days of going down to the local convenience store to buy a piece of hard candy with your well-earned dime.
Yeah.
In my day, we used to walk to the store uphill both ways.
We really would. Really would.
Yeah, it's probable. Now kids can purchase 500 pieces of hard candy because they are rolling in the dough. When it comes to allowance, a new report found that the number of parents offering more than $10 or $20 a week for
Gosh.
Allowance is on the rise. 4% of families are giving their children from $41 to $50 per week. For a few lucky kids, about 1% of families give $91 to $100 per week.
That's ridiculous.
If little Matthew Lott could have gotten $100 a week... I would have been the most horrible person in the world.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I probably would have bought my friends a lot of candy at the candy store, but I also would have bought myself a lot of candy at the candy store, and my teeth would be worse than they are. But
Gosh.
That's fine, because I would have money laying around everywhere. That's crazy. $100 a week? At that point, the parents are just trying to prove that they're rich.
Right?
That's what I think it is. Ugh. Oh, yeah, I'm so rich. I just give my kids $100 a week because I'm so rich.
That's insane to me.
Stuart Ritter, a senior financial planner with T. Rowe Price, who conducted the Parents, Kids, and Money survey, said there are a few reasons higher allowances are cropping up. A better economy, that's good. Sharing financial decisions with kids, such as paying for their own clothes. Additionally, older children are also to blame for allowance inflation. The more typical $5 won't get much for a 14-year-old these days. That's true.
Yeah,
but
that's why,
Yeah, but $100 a week
for a teenager?
That's a bad idea.
That's a terrible
All that is a bad idea.
I know.
That's like here.
That's like a topic.
Don't
right
make
there.
Any bad decisions, but here's the way you can. You know?
Yep.
Just in case you want to, here's how you can do it. Oh, man. I think there's more stuff in here, but I think it's time for birthdays.
Oh, man, that means we got a lot of show today. A lot of good stuff for the show.
Yeah?
If there's tons of stuff in there.
There is a lot of
stuff
in
good.
Here. That's good. Yeah, it is.
Makes me happy. Because you're right, it's 6:45, which means time for birthdays.
Woo!
Good morning, Stever.
Hey there.
Stever.
Hey.
How much did you get for an allowance when you were a kid?
I think it was about $5 a week.
See, I don't think I even got an allowance.
But we worked.
Yeah, I was going to say, my boys, they have jobs.
We worked. Mowed the yard, cleaned the pool, stuff like that.
I mowed the yard. I got paid for that.
Yeah. Steve-O, you?
I was spoiled.
Okay.
Yeah, but,
hey, I want to go to Roller King. Give me $20.
Did you see me there?
Probably did.
Yeah.
Man, that was my stomping ground.
Were you guys friends in a past life?
No.
He was the DJ spinning, and I was the little kid that was like, "Who's hold hands? I can almost skate backwards."
And then, he was like, "Let's hear this hit from Scooby-Doo Bob."
He'd roll up and say, "Could you play Thriller?"
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. All right. It's the 36th day of 2014. 329 days remaining. And today, from Mystic River, the Big C, and the Truman Show. Laura Linney.
Laura Linney.
Celebrating a birthday.
Okay.
Awesome. She's a good actress.
Yeah, she is. I love the Truman Show. I love that movie.
Yeah.
It made me real paranoid, though, because I was like, wait a second.
I like when she's doing all the product placement
in the
Truman Show.
I would go to Walmart, walk around, and then look up, and somebody would be looking at me, and they'd look away, and I was like, it's happening. It's happening.
Oh, man.
That's
Laura
how
Linney.
Self-absorbed I am, everyone.
Yeah. I got you. 47.
45.
She's 50.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. So from Black Swan, Hannah and her sisters, and Hoosiers, Barbara Hershey.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I never saw Black Swan.
I didn't either.
Me neither.
Dave saw it. He loved that movie.
What?
He said it was gnarly in places, but...
Yeah, it didn't interest me.
I think that's the first time I've used the word gnarly since Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Nice.
Nice. Radical. All right, how old is this person?
61.
58.
66.
Ah!
All righty. Here we go. Here's an oldie. Ready?
Yes.
All right. Here we go. From Best in Show and Spinal Tap.
Is it Michael McKean?
That's Christopher Guest.
Christopher Guest? Oh, dude, from The Princess Bride.
Yep.
Who is he in Princess Bride?
The Six-Fingered Man.
Oh. We need to watch that movie again. It's been a long time.
Dude.
Christopher Guest, celebrating a birthday.
He's great.
67.
He's actually the same age as Barbara Hershey.
66. Almost said that and did not.
Well, you should have.
No.
Yeah?
No.
Should have thought of it.
No!
All right. Here we go.
Is this Seth Meyers' birthday?
No.
Andy Samberg?
Nope.
Current or previous?
Previous.
Adam Sandler.
Tim Meadows. Yeah!
Celebrating a birthday.
Well, that was good.
That was good.
I feel great. He was the ladies' man.
He was so awesome.
Hey, you just come over here with your glass of Cavassier and we can hang out, you know?
And Tim Meadows, he is 50.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He was great.
So bad.
I think he's 46.
53.
Oh, wow. Tim Meadows.
Yeah.
Man, he was hilarious.
He's still hilarious.
You know, they did a Bill Brasky skit the other day, and he got left out.
Yep.
Oh, I love this song.
That's Jackson Brown, his contribution to the soundtrack Fast Times at Ridgemont High. From Backdraft.
Nope.
And Fast Times. Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Hey.
Oh.
Celebrating a birthday.
Jennifer Jason Leigh is 48.
She must be somebody's baby. 49.
52.
Damn.
Is it Axl Rose?
Nope.
Duff McKagan.
Yep.
Yeah! We saw him!
And one of my boys is actually a big fan of Velvet Revolver.
Oh, what was his new band?
Velvet Revolver.
No, Duff McKagan.
Duff McKagan has a new band.
And it was good.
And we saw
what
them.
What were they called?
I don't even remember because I was like, I love you, Duff McKagan.
But it was the guy that almost was the singer in Velvet Revolver, but then they ended up going with the STP guy. Yeah.
All right.
And he could sing, dude. Yeah.
So
they were a good band.
How old do you think Duff is?
Walking Papers.
Man. Walking Papers.
Walking Papers. That's the name of the band.
Gosh. Let's take me back to my first tape. My first cassette tape.
Okay.
Appetite for Destruction.
Let's see.
No joke.
I think he was probably older than the rest of the band.
Duff McKagan. I'm gonna go old then.
I don't know.
55.
You're the expert. I don't know. 56.
50.
Ah!
'90s.
Bobby Brown.
Yep.
Wow!
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
I'm gonna go rethink my musical life.
I forgot about Bobby Brown.
Wow, did you forget this about Bobby Brown? This is more, actually, in that last one wasn't 90s, it was 80s.
Really?
As is this, yeah.
Yep.
Well, consider
Bobby
me
Brown,
wrong.
Back to New Edition. How old's old Bobby?
This is crazy. This is seriously like my life history.
Stop it.
My first concert that I chose was Keith Sweat, Johnny Gill, and Bell Biv DeVoe. Now, I realize Bobby Brown was not there. However, it's a lot of New Edition up in there.
Yep.
I don't know what you said.
There I know you
of,
don't.
A lot of words that happened.
Keith Sweat, Keith Johnny Sweat. Gill,
yep.
Bell Biv DeVoe.
Bell Biv DeVoe.
Bell Biv DeVoe.
Bell Biv DeVoe.
You don't remember Bell Biv.
Maybe if I heard a song.
I do, Steve-O.
That girl is poison.
Okay, yeah, I do remember that. All right. Bobby
they
Brown.
Taught me everything I know. Never trust a big button to smile.
How old is Bobby Brown? You never trust a big button to smile.
Thank you, Liz. 53.
Bobby Brown is 57 years old.
45.
Dang
oh
it.
Oh, my gosh.
He was one of those little guys in,
wow.
in New Edition. He's been around a little while. Fans? You guys fans?
Amazing. But no. Bobby Brown? Actually, yeah. No. What show is this?
Glee.
Glee.
Man, I
Darren Criss celebrating a birthday.
No clue.
I don't know.
34.
18.
27. I've never watched that one either.
Yeah. No thanks.
Baseball Hall of Famer.
Nolan Ryan. Oh, wait, no. It was Nolan Ryan's birthday last week when I was gone,
yep.
And I missed it.
Yep.
Only one of the greatest baseball players of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy, too. You've heard of him. Hammer and Hank.
Oh.
Yeah, right?
Hank Hill.
Gosh.
King of the Hill.
Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron. Atlanta Braves.
Bobby. Oh, man.
What was it, number 44? Steve-O?
You know? Good question.
I think he was. Hank Aaron celebrating a birthday.
All right.
I'm trying to think of his shot. Let's see.
Hank
I can't think
Hank
of the
Aaron.
Number.
It's older.
Yes.
Pretty old.
Yeah.
How old? 70s?
I was going to say 64.
71.
80.
80.
Wow!
Dang.
I still equate everything to, like, the 90s.
I yeah. do, too, man. It's the 90s. Get
Hank Aaron, man. What a class act. All right. Let's stick with sports.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, let's.
All righty.
Okay. Jimmy Johnson.
Football Hall of Famer.
Howie Long.
Bo.
Naval Academy graduate.
Roger Staubach.
Roger the Dodger.
Roger the Dodger Staubach.
Yep. My father-in-law was wearing his jersey on Sunday.
Nice.
Yeah, it was Super Bowl Sunday, and he was sporting his old
Staubach. Back when Dallas had class back then, too.
Yeah, they did. Tom Landry.
Yep.
You
know Tom Landry and, help me remember, Miami's coach at the time.
Shula.
Don Shula. Both were under Lombardi.
Wow. Incredible. incredible, man.
Vince Lombardi.
Yes, good job. You got it.
Well, in the Super Bowl, they did a lot of background stuff on him during the pregame.
That's true.
So, Roger the Dodger Staubach celebrating a birthday today.
Went to junior college with my pops.
Nice.
So then I should probably... Okay, 63, he was at... Let's see. 13. I'm going to say 70.
I say 68.
Roger the Dodger Staubach. Football Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
72.
Dang it! So close.
Yeah, you like that math, though? That was pretty good.
Okay, we are 2 years.
Years and dates.
On this date, in what year the Royal Greenwich Observatory began broadcasting the hourly time signals known as the Greenwich Time Signal or the BBC PIPs?
Love you, BBC.
I don't know.
Everything you do is magical. Actually, I just watched Sherlock.
I don't know. 1957.
I was back in 1963.
24.
Oh, 24. Right. Cheerio.
On this date in what year?
Elton.
Mm-hmm. U.S. President Richard Nixon ordered the development of a space shuttle program.
We landed on the moon!
1974.
1969.
1972.
Dang!
Landed on the moon in 69.
Right.
Yeah.
So I figured that had to have been a pretty good year that...
Pretty good year, man.
You know, that we were like, well, hey, shoot.
We made it on the moon with that capsule. What's next?
Let's do something more with this.
All right, so today, gentlemen... It's Fun in the Bedroom Day.
Okay.
It's also Digital Learning Day.
Woo!
Chocolate Fondue Day.
Yeah!
Gosh, there is a theme running through like no other.
Today is Weatherman's Day.
Hey, wait a minute.
Which, by the way, they say there's snow on the way.
Yeah,
they do.
Bring it on.
Could happen anytime between... 8 o'clock this morning and tomorrow morning?
It's the devil's dandruff, Steve.
Yankee's black friend.
It's Yankee slush.
All right, and just to help finish up Steve-O's theme, it's whipped cream day.
Whoa!
That is all.
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
Of course it is. It's incredible. I mean, you can't have chocolate fondue without the whipped cream, you know what I'm saying? We gotta take a quick break. Coming back, we got a lot to do today. It's Wednesday.
Lots to get to, friends.
Yeah. Matt, lots to get to.
Hey, it's me.
That's how we do. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static! Right.
Your
coffee is really hot.
Are you okay?
I just burned my tongue.
Oh, man.
Ow!
I'm sorry, buddy. Hey, we got construction I-25 in Paseo. It looks like there's a little bit of morning time traffic around there, so be careful. Also, a couple things to report. There's an accident off to the side, I-40 East at I-25. The big interchange here in town that happened about 6:56, so not that long ago. Also, an accident off to the side, Bridge Boulevard East at the river. That happened about 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago. So be careful as you're traveling. It looks like 40 eastbound before you get to the interchange with the 25 is starting to get a little slow. And I have the flu, so good luck.
Travel brought to you by Solomon's Sports 4001 Sooner Go Noise.
You sound like you got stung by bees on your tongue. It was that hot?
It's so hot!
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Port.
Yep.
Solomon's Porch here on the Calvary campus, 4001 Osuna Boulevard. The number is 505-338 something.
3669.
That's it.
Call them, ask them to make you an Americano, but tell them, hey, could you put a little, like, whipped cream or something to, like, make it less hot? Which I did, but it's still hot.
Call him anytime, but don't call him late for dinner. Am I right? Look out.
All right, you mentioned this during breaking news, something we have to talk about. Parents.
Yes. Parentals.
Kids these days, apparently, should be paying my rent.
Yeah, they're raking in the monies.
Man.
They're bringing in that money check.
I do remember being a kid and getting a buck or so from my mom and walking down to, like, the convenience store and getting, like, remember those atomic fireballs?
Yes!
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Me and my dad used to eat those all the time.
Yes, dude.
That was one thing he passed down to me.
Atomic fireballs, the big lemon heads.
Yep.
I used to love, oh, man, those little, like, 5-cent candies you could get.
Nostalgia.
Well, I could get a handful of them, maybe.
Yeah.
Nowadays, kids could walk out, you know, with a down payment on the store, allegedly.
Yeah.
Unbelievable reading this story. When it comes to allowance, a new report found the number of parents offering more than $10 or $20 a week is on the rise. 4% of families giving their kids between $41 to $50 a week, and about 1% of families have been giving their children $91 to $100 a week.
That's that 1%. Occupy allowance.
This is unbelievable. They say the more typical $5 won't get you much for a 14-year-old these days, so allowance is on the rise. We don't have an allowance, per se, for our kids.
Yeah.
Like, our kids have jobs.
Yeah, which is, that's an effective way to do it.
And so it's like, well, if they do all their jobs, I think $5 is kind of where it tops out. But, you know, hey, well, here's your daily jobs, and if you get like a quarter a day for each job type thing.
Yeah.
And it averages out to about $5 a week, but, you know, normally for them, they usually end up with the $3 and a quarter or something. I don't know. You know, because they don't do all their jobs.
Yeah.
And if you don't do all your jobs,
you don't get money for
it. You don't get paid.
I mean, it sounds like child labor, but that's fine.
Stuart Ritter, a senior financial planner for T. Rowe Price, conducted the Parents, Kids, and Money survey. Said there's some reasons higher allowances are cropping up. Better economy. Sharing financial decisions with kids, such as paying for their own clothes, that's
a good thing.
Yeah.
Teaching your kids how to budget is invaluable.
But here's the thing. I know my kids.
Yeah.
And I know if I said, all right, guys, here's your allowance for the month. Now, this is going to have to cover clothing, toothpaste. So you got to buy your own toothpaste, maybe your own toiletries in general. But if you run out of toilet paper, you're going to have to buy some at the store.
Yeah.
Those things, here's what would happen. They'd smell like butt because they'd be out of toilet paper, so they couldn't wipe. They'd have clothes with holes in them, but they would have two brand new Wii U video games.
Yeah, that's true.
I know them. They're children. So it's like,
oh, I got shoes. But your toes are hanging out. Yeah, but they're shoes.
Yeah, but they're shoes.
You
they
said
still
shoes.
Work. I still have shoes. Are you kidding me? My kids don't even tie their own shoes still.
They don't.
They're just like, whatever.
They had to get Velcro options.
Whatever. It's like, you know what? I don't even care.
Your shoes untied.
Tie my shoe. Who cares? I don't have time for shoes. Shoes. Let's go to the park.
There was one time where it was one of them. I can't remember. They were walking. And this is because when I look down and see an untied shoe, it just makes me paranoid.
It makes me go. Oh,
because
yeah.
I remember how clumsy I was as a
right.
kid. So, you know, both of them have an issue, apparently, with keeping their shoes tied. But I can't remember which one it was, but one of them tripped on the shoelace and fell down, and then looked up at me, and I just gave him that look like, it's been months.
Yep.
I've been telling you this for months.
I don't know what to do.
And then I was like, are you okay?
I love what Luke does, is he has no time.
Yeah.
So he's like, I asked him to tie a shoe, and he grabbed the shoelaces and just shoved him down the sides of his foot and was like, I don't know what you want me to do. I don't have time. Like, as if that was totally normal and logical. We got places to be.
Gosh.
I don't have time to tie these right now.
That's hilarious.
I love it, man.
So, okay. So, budgeting, you have to be a little more specific.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I guess for older kids, because Jack is already talking cell phone. And he's 10.
Cell phone?
There's no way.
Gosh.
It's like, yeah, man, you can get a cell phone as soon as you can pay for it.
Ooh, nice.
But then on the flip side, I know parents who would say, well, no, because at, you know, like 13, we got
to
know where they're at. Yeah. Want them to be safe. So, I don't know, 505-338-3700 is the phone number. Future parenting tips for Mateo here.
Yeah, guys, give me some tips, okay? I don't know what to do with these children. They look at me, and then I try to talk to them, and they just keep looking at me. I don't know what's going on. I try to connect with these kids, and then they just look at me like I'm an idiot. And then I'm like, hey, you get away from me, jerks. And then they cry because apparently I've hurt their feelings. I don't know what's going on. The worst is the baby. The baby can't even speak English. Oh, how am I supposed to communicate with a baby?
Static.
Morning, guys. Long time no speak. This is Mark the Bus Rider.
Hey! Mark, where have you been?
Well, right now I'm waiting for the bus.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
Yep, continuity. But as far as, like, kids and cell phones, like, yeah, I mean, you could make the case, like, yeah, you got to know where they are. But then you have to ask yourself the question, what if they don't answer their phone?
Yeah. Well, I mean, now I guess with technology, you use the Find My iPhone app or...
It's true.
Something.
You can track
them. Pinpoint their location.
I've heard about this new thing you can do where you can get like a microchip embedded in either your wrist or your forehead.
Stop
and it.
It
tracks you forever. You can use it to buy and sell things.
You don't even need change for the bus anymore.
It's pretty cool, man. Maybe we should check it out for our kids.
Well, I have noticed that a lot of little kids get iPads now. It's like it used to be the Game Boy, but now it's the iPad.
The iPad, which is crazy because those things are expensive.
Yeah, but it's about as much as what a Game Boy cost back then.
Touche. Touche. Thanks, Bus Rider.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, have a great morning, guys.
You all right, Mark.
Call in more often.
Yeah. Static. Oh, they hung up.
You know who else we haven't heard from in a while?
Who?
Security John.
Yeah, we haven't heard
from
Security.
Where has he been?
I don't know. Rockin' Security.
Maybe.
Static.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. So I believe the question is about cell phones.
Yeah, well, we're just talking kids. We found a new survey that showed that there's a percentage of children who get up to $100 a week for allowance,
woo,
which is just craziness. But yeah, it kind of turned into cell phones. Why not?
Because we're talking about, you know, like, well, if you give this kid so much allowance, but then you're trying to teach them how to budget it and stuff,
yeah,
well, what's the first thing they would buy would probably be a cell phone.
Truth.
So.
Yeah, and I agree. I have a 6-year-old son, and he would probably do the same thing. He'd probably have holes in his shirt, but he'd be playing a brand new DS game.
So does he have a cell phone?
He does not,
okay,
and
good.
The reason why is because I think that if you have to call your 6-year-old to find out where they're at,
ooh,
and they're 6 years old, that's kind of a problem for me.
Oh.
That's too young to be wondering where your kid is at. I think.
Amen. Wise wisdom.
I think you should always keep tabs on where your kid is at without a cell phone. So.
I thought I was a little overprotective with my kids until just now. So thank you for reminding me that it's okay to care about where your kids are at all times.
Amen.
Yes. And by the way, my name is Honey, and I'm from Gallup.
Honey from Gallup.
Yay.
Nice to talk
now,
to you, honey.
Now you are officially a character on the station, and you can call in anytime.
That really
I
throws
am,
me
and
off.
I will call again.
Good.
All right. I call my wife Honey, though, so it's weird.
Bye, that's Honey from Gallup.
Yeah, so. All right. Good to talk to you,
and
Honey.
You're just going to have to say Honey from Gallup so everybody
honey
knows which
Gallup
one you're talking about.
There you go. All right. Love you, Honey.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
She gets no gratification out of that at all, I'm sure. Thanks, Honey from Gallup. Good grief. I feel like we've been trapped. That's what just happened. We got trapped.
We did.
Now both of our wives have fodder
cool
to destroy us.
Yeah, remember that one time on the air you told that girl, you called her Honey.
Thanks,
that's
Honey.
My
I did
name
it again.
Oh.
She gave us no other identifier. That's
I know
all we got.
That's what we got.
We can't just say woman from Gallup because then we'll get sued by the equality police or whatever. Are you just walking around calling
the
people woman?
Equality police.
Yeah. You didn't see those at the Grammys? They were
amazing. Static.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Morning.
How you guys doing?
Pretty can't good complain.
Good, good. So the question's about kids, young kids having cell phones?
Well, sort of.
Yeah, it kind of turned into that.
It turned into that.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, you know, the last caller that called in, she had a great point. You know, if you do have to, you know, call your kid to find out where he is, then, you know, he shouldn't have a cell phone in the first place. Because when I was growing up, you know, my mom gave a whistle, you know, and if you didn't hear that whistle or you didn't come within the next 5 minutes of that whistle,
yeah,
you know, you were in trouble.
Wow. I love
so,
that.
You know, I think that, you know, kids having cell phones nowadays, I mean, because they idle their cell phones, you know what
oh,
I'm
yeah
saying? Like, they live on their cell phones.
True.
So, you know, I think it's kind of blown way out of proportion nowadays.
The whistle. I like
the
that
whistle.
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would be up the street playing with my friends, and my mom would give this huge whistle, and I would hear it, and I would come running.
Right.
That is,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
Man, amazing. Thanks for the call.
All right. God bless, guys.
God bless you, too.
God bless you now.
It feels like a different time, though.
It is a different
time. Because when I was totally cool up the street.
Yeah.
I was totally cool in the neighborhood. I was totally cool riding my bikes wherever.
Yeah. It's a different day. And you know, some people would argue, well, is it though? Maybe it's always been like this. It's just now we know more stuff is going on.
Yeah. We were at a friend's house with the kids, and they were playing with our friend's kids, mm-hmm. and they asked if they could ride bikes in the front yard. And it was like, well, maybe not without a parent. I don't know. We're all inside. You guys, can you play in the backyard? Well, we want to ride bikes. And we said no, and then walked out about 15 minutes later. Hey, where are the kids? And they were at a park like 3 blocks away.
Oh.
I lost my mind.
What?
And they knew exactly where the park was, but I still was like, whoa, 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 what?
Yeah.
If it's not okay to let them ride bikes in the front, why is it okay to walk blocks away in a weird neighborhood I don't know?
Man.
Could be the safest neighborhood in the world. I don't know.
Static. I don't know.
Morning, how are you guys?
Doing well,
yeah,
doing
good.
Well.
So you guys are talking about kids and allowances, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. So when I started high school, my parents started giving me $75 per week.
Whoa!
As an allowance.
Who are you? Is this
now,
Donald,
here's the,
is
here's
Donald
the deal
Trump
with that.
Talking to
okay,
me?
Okay, here's the deal with that. With that $75, I had to buy my own clothes.
Okay.
I had to buy my own school lunches.
Oh.
I was not allowed to be given any money for prom or homecoming or any of that kind of stuff.
So you had to save up for it.
Yeah. So I tell you what, if there's a parent out there that's thinking about doing that, they should. Because there was a couple times where, well, I should say the first couple weeks I got this allowance, I just blew it on
of
stupid
course.
Stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then about a month later, I was like, oh, man, I'm really hungry. I should have had some money for school, you know?
Yep.
So it really helped me with learning how to budget my money, and I really thank my parents a lot for doing that for me.
That's cool.
That's a good perspective. Thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, no problem. God bless you guys.
God bless you,
God bless you.
See, I think of the one time I was going on a a trip, you know, in high school.
Yeah.
It was like a field trip, if you will.
Yeah.
To Disneyland.
Okay.
And we were gone for like, I don't remember, 4 days, 5 days. It was like choir. And so we had like performances and stuff out in California. And
wait. Did you say choir?
No, man! No, I did not!
Hang on.
Shut up, Mateo!
Let me rewind it in my mental palace.
Choir.
Yeah, you said choir.
Okay.
You tried to hide it with a cough.
Yeah. And
but I deduced what you said.
I think my mom gave me like $200 or something crazy like that, because I was going to be gone for like almost a week.
Oh.
And that was meals, that was everything.
Yeah.
And she gave it to me 2 days before we left for California.
Yeah.
And this tattoo on my back.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me?
That was like $100.
That's ridiculous. I was the same way.
Oh, dude, and then like halfway through the trip, I was begging friends. Like, can you just get me some McDonald's or something? Can you just...
Please.
I had no money, and I was the kid that was begging.
Ugh.
I wish I could have said that. I learned my lesson about budgeting after that. I didn't learn anything.
Yeah.
Static!
I wish I could have said...
Hi. I was calling in. Are you guys still wanting to talk about the cell phones with kids or not really?
Yeah.
We started talking about
allowances
and cell phones and kids and responsibility, so it all fits together.
It all ties together.
Okay, well, so here's the situation. I have a 12-year-old, and he has an iPod Touch.
Yeah.
You can buy, or you can get a free app that will let you do text messaging. And then you can also, like, up, I don't know, a certain number of minutes, like 500 minutes for $9.
Wow. Okay.
So we don't really, we have two younger sons under the age of 12, which he's never really responsible to watch them. But say, for instance, if he goes with a friend and, like, this weekend he went golfing with a friend. So it's nice to be able to have the communication with him. However, it's not to the point where if he's on that, playing the apps and trying to text a bunch of people, it's like something that we take away from him.
Yeah.
However, he did purchase the iPod Touch himself. He saved up his money and, you know, so teaching him responsibility. So we purchased the first 500 minutes, and then after that he's going to purchase whatever else. So
okay.
Staying monitoring it, I think, is important.
Yeah,
yeah, I was going to say. I had a friend who let his son on his Xbox 360 and mm-hmm. didn't put any password protecting things and racked up like $400 in...
Good Lord.
Yeah, in like in video game purchases.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I bet that was
pretty
fun.
Gnarly situation.
Yeah.
I immediately password protected everything.
Yeah.
Everything!
Everything!
So, yeah. But it's good. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Now,
can you hear this voice?
Yeah, you poor.
No!
Bless your heart,
man.
Oh,
can't
you
happen.
Poor little
I can't
lamb.
Get sick, man.
You just sound so sweet with your little scratchy voice.
Static!
Hey, are you guys still talking about the phones?
Yes! That's amazing. Every phone call. Yes.
I didn't get my cell phone until I was sixth grade, but I had to get all my grades up. I had to get at least A's and B's.
Did you keep them up after you got your cell phone?
Yes, I did.
That's cool. See, that's responsible.
Yeah, that is. Because the parents then all of a sudden are under contract, so it's like you can't just take it away after a month.
Yeah.
They're stuck with it for 2 years.
Well, let me tell you what happened to me and my first cell phone.
Thanks for the call.
I didn't get my first cell phone until I was a senior in high school because that's when cell phones came out.
If the next caller says, are we still talking about cell phones, what topic are we going to make up? Okay.
Static!
Cell phones came out!
Hey!
Hi!
This is Sunny.
Hey, Sunny!
Hey, Sunny.
I have 3 kids, and I didn't let them have a cell phone until they were in middle school, and I homeschooled them up until then.
Yeah.
And first of all, one day my son decided he didn't want to homeschool anymore or go to school, so I made him go out and start digging holes in the backyard.
Amen.
And after that, he decided he didn't mind going to school so much because he realized that's what he'd be doing for the rest of his life.
Did he make it to China?
No, but they were all three on the dean's. They're all three on the dean's list in college right now. But that's beside the point. Right. Anyway, we got them cell phones, but we limited the phone calls that they could make, the phone numbers that they could dial.
Oh, wow!
Which was me and their dad and my sister and like one or two friends. And we had a tracking device on their cell phones.
Wow.
So that way, but they were all involved in sports. So that way we could actually, if we never actually had to track them, and it was more for a safety device in case they got kidnapped or something.
Wow.
But we limited the phone people that they could call. So people can always look at that option.
So there are ways to do it.
Yeah,
is what
to
you're
monitor
saying.
It. Thanks, Sonny.
Thank you, Sonny.
Static!
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Dragons!
Not much, man. You guys are talking about the allowances, right?
Dragons.
Yeah, actually, we moved on. We've been talking about dragons.
Oh, man. Oh, dragons? Oh, dragons are awesome, man.
Yeah, yeah. But did you ever see Dragonheart?
No, I never watched Dragonheart.
Oh, Dennis Quaid and Sean Connery. He was the voice of the dragon. It was really not as good as Reign of Fire, though.
No, Reign of Fire was okay.
Christian Bale,
but really,
Gerard Butler,
best dragon movie. No, How to Train a Dragon.
That was good.
How to Train Your Dragon was the best dragon movie ever released.
If Christian I had Bale, a dragon, it would be the black dragon, and he would shoot purple flames.
That's right. Okay. What would his name be?
Prince. Obviously.
Philip.
His name would be Philip.
Prince Philip.
No.
Prince Philip?
Prince Philip is in, what is that? Prince Philip?
No, I like Prince
that's
Philip.
That's like Sleeping
I like
Beauty.
Philip. That'll work.
That's in Sleeping Beauty. You can't steal that. And we all know that the black dragon in that movie was Maleficent because she turned into it.
That's true.
No.
Thanks,
but
Colin.
I think that later.
You just, we were talking about dragons. I'm sorry, bud. We played a joke. If you want to call back, you can.
Oh, Steve Austin Morning Party.
Right now.
Good morning.
Good morning!
Team Awesome Morning Party. Making your morning a little more awesomer. Ist. A little more awesomest.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Steve Austin Morning Party, welcome to the show.
We're never getting back together, Steve.
Are you talking to the flu?
It's over.
I hope so.
Me and the flu are done.
I think, I hate to take your sloppy seconds, but it looks like the flu's moving in with me.
Gross.
I know.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to tell you.
I'm pretty sure I'm getting
it. She'll mistreat you. Your heart is nothing to her. But a place to just...
Why'd you get me sick, Teo?
I had to. Somebody had to.
Yeah.
We need to launch an investigation as to who got this whole campus sick.
Yeah.
I want to know the first person that did it.
Yep.
Because I'm willing to bet it was Panda.
The cat?
The cat.
Ugh. I knew they were trouble.
She's been plotting our
demise. All cats everywhere. Trouble. Always.
What about the cool cats?
Yeah, that's true.
The cat daddies.
Yeah.
And the bee's knees. Or the jungle cats.
Barlow girl.
No. What? Gross. How's everybody doing today? It's Team Awesome Morning Party, and it is Wednesday. And we have our favorite segment coming up.
Yeah, we do. Max from Astro Zombies will be joining us soon. We got a lot of books to cover today, a lot of news.
Lots of news.
Batman, Superman, Movie World, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last night. Ooh. We got a lot to talk about.
There's a lot to talk about.
Arrow.
We're going to try to talk about it all.
Yeah, we will definitely try and talk about that. We've been talking about kids and allowance / cell phones. Read a new report, if you will, about the cost of allowance these days.
Yes.
$5 apparently just doesn't cut it anymore.
Nope.
Percentages have gone up 20. We're talking 20. And then a good percentage was 41 to 50.
Woo.
And then there's the minor one percenters.
Yeah.
Who, it was $100 a week. A week!
A week.
But you know what? We got that one phone call from a dude who said, hey man, starting in high school, my parents gave me $75 a week. But that included all of his food, all of his, clothing. If he wanted to go to prom, he had to save using that funds only. That's actually kind of a good idea.
Yeah, it is.
So we just started talking about that. If you'd like to chime in on it, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Or, of course, 505-338-3700. And it is just about that time.
It is. But first.
For cookies.
Oh, it's cookie time.
Well, Girl Scouts.
Oh, I read this. Gosh. Crazy talk, mister.
This is the United States of America. A California man was arrested this last week after he allegedly pulled a gun on a Girl Scout. She was selling Girl Scout cookies to homeowners in Temecula. When she knocked on a door, the man who answered pointed a gun at the young sales girl. The girl's father, who witnessed the incident, then called the authorities. But I mean, those Girl Scout cookies, nothing but trouble.
Nothing.
Nothing but trouble. They make your BMI go up.
They do.
They cause you to do crazy things.
But
like
they are gluten-free.
Girls? That's true. So there's a plus.
They have
there's
a gluten-free.
There's a plus.
They have one.
There you go. Reading news stories today freaks me out, man.
Yeah.
Because it seems like nowadays everybody has a gun. Are you kidding me? In Flagler County, Florida, Lee Williams.
Yeah.
He was charged with aggravated assault this week. He's 65 years old.
Whoa.
He's accused of threatening tree trimmers and pointing a gun at one of them. Workers were hired by his daughter to cut down the trees and grind the stumps. The workers repeatedly asked Williams to stay inside so he wouldn't be hurt. But Williams wanted to watch what they were doing. When they said no, he pulled out a gun, pointed it at one of the men, threatened to shoot them if they didn't get off his property.
Yeah.
Williams then told the deputies that the workers were being rude, and that's why he pointed a gun in their face.
What a bunch of rudes. Rude! Your pants are red.
I'm just saying, we need to we need to think about the way we talk to people, because you never know when they're just going to get upset and pull out a gun.
I know.
Isn't that scary?
That is scary.
To think about.
Another example of the way we talk about people, a 41-year-old woman in Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Has been accused of biting and beating her boyfriend of 75 years age.
Wait.
75 years of age. Age. Of age.
What?
Police say Shirley Clohesi Saslow attacked him in their Boca, Florida apartment or something during an argument Saturday. The argument started after the boyfriend took Shirley's credit card away.
Hmm.
You gotta you gotta watch it, y'all.
Parents, this is why allowance and cell phones, this is why it's so important to teach them responsibility now, because if not, when they're 60s and 70s, they're going to be biting each other's ears off and pulling guns.
When your kid grows up and she's 41 years old and she's dating a 75-year-old man in Florida and he tries to take her credit card away and she bites him, you're going to think, wait, maybe I didn't teach her how to be an adult. That's what you're going to think, and you're going to feel bad. And I'm going to be here for you to remind you that I said this.
Oh, man. We got to take a quick break.
We do.
Coming back, we're going to talk fun things like comics.
No, we're not.
Television series.
We're going to give up. We're going to give up on life.
Superman, Batman movies, and all of the latest and greatest rumors in that world. So
there's tons of cool rumors. You guys, there's rumors everywhere. We can just go and we'll just check out the rumors. We'll be right back.
It's Team Austin Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Good morning.
Good morning to you there.
Okay, up and at 'em.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Stay away from them.
Static Radio.
Traffic report.
I think it's loaded all the way. We have construction at I-25 in Paseo. We have congestion on, what is this road? Alameda?
Mm-hmm. Alameda.
And then we have, down here, the computer quit working.
Oh, computer!
No, look at this!
Oh no!
There's an accident on the
south. Riverboat run aground on Rio Grande.
Yeah, it looks close to the Rio Grande. There's something, and there's traffic backed up on 40 eastbound, but I literally can't tell what's going on because our computer is frozen.
That old thing.
Oh, look at this. This is cool. Wow.
Welcome to 2014, computer of Boom. 97.
This computer, it's still confused by the debate last night.
Yeah, yeah. Still has no clue what to do. It's okay. Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvert campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. Are you ready for your favorite segment of the week?
I am.
Are you sure?
No.
Okay.
Oh, nerds.
To the Idiot Mobile.
Comics Corner! It's time. Welcoming into studio Max from Astro Zombies.
There he is.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
He's grabbing the stack.
I'm doing it. Also, so I can turn this bad boy around and go, Astro Zombies, sponsoring Comics Corner today.
Woo!
3100 Central Avenue Southeast, astrozombies.com. That's your website.
That is our website.
Welcome to the show, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good to be back this morning.
It is our favorite day of the week.
It is.
Comic book day.
It was a good day for comic books, too.
Yeah, there was a lot of comics, and I didn't even grab everything that I was hoping to read. So we have a lot to go over. Like a lot.
So many Marvel number ones.
So, man, you know what? It's starting to get confusing. So for those who listen to Comics Corner every week and go, you know what? There's got to be a time where it'd be good for me because I don't read a whole lot of comics. When should I jump on? I feel like now is the perfect time.
It is.
Especially in the Marvel universe because there's so many number ones and they're basically catching you up to what you've missed. Even like the Cap Digital number one, I love how you've got to hate this right now, but how the new number ones give you the digital edition and the digital collection of volume one, like the first six comics in the series. So yeah, it's like,
we're going to stock up on volume two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well done. Well so, played, comic store.
Yeah. So it's a good time. Now, of course, you're Mr. Batman.
Yeah.
You are Mr. DC. And, in the Batman universe, there's a lot going on. There's like 17 different Bat books.
So many Bat books.
And so...
it's great.
Yeah, one is like... is it year one or is it just... Where's Batman now in Batman?
Batman now in Batman is in 0 year. Still.
Yes, 0 year.
Okay. Yeah, so he's in the past.
He's in the past. He's way back, taking you way back. And then you've got Detective, which has Batman teaming up with Catwoman as his Robin, and it's really weird. What is going on with Batman?
Well, Detective 28 is Gothtopia, so okay. The Scarecrow has infected everybody in Gotham with this drug that makes them complacent, and okay. They like see only the greatest possible future and like lives for themselves.
Which doesn't sound like a bad thing.
No, it doesn't at all, except that it leads to a more perfect fear.
Ah.
Ooh.
Ah, I gotcha.
That's the villainy in the whole thing.
The villainy.
Oh, yeah. So Batman, like, discovers that something's going on, so he, like, intentionally lets himself get taken into Arkham Asylum to catch Clayton Crane and... Not Clayton Crane. That's the artist.
There you go.
Dr. Crane. And, he ends up having to team up with Poison Ivy. It was a really cool book. It was... it was fun. And,
okay.
And that is a different change of pace for Batman.
Right. That's, I think, why I finally just had to call it quits, because there's like, seriously, there's like four or five different Bat books right now, and every single one feels like a completely different universe, because they're not really in sync with each other at all. So one's like in the past, one's Gothopia, and then Dark... I don't even know where Dark Knight is right now, what they're doing.
Yeah, I have no idea.
And
either.
Then Batman and Robin, well, since they killed the best Robin in the world, now it's like Batman and whoever he teams up with. So that's the team-up book,
well,
all
Batman
of a sudden.
Batman and Aquaman's going to be coming out soon.
That's really?
Aquaman?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dang it! This guy loves him so much.
Just when I think I'm done, they pulled me back in.
I was saving that one for you.
Dang it. Yeah. When is that kicking off?
I think it's later this month.
Ah, no!
There you go, Steve-O.
All right.
Take a little bit more out of savings.
So with those, with like the Batman and Two-Face, the Batman and the team-up book, is it really just kind of like you can jump on any time, or is there still continuity throughout?
I mean, there's still continuity throughout, but you can jump in at any time. So
yeah.
Both would be my answer to that,
okay.
To that question.
All right. Dude, it's interesting how I've always put Captain America and Batman like as the parallels in the Marvel and DC universe, because it seemed like when one of them was killed, the other one was killed, and then they're both in these alternate realities, and oh, and now they're coming back at the same time, and so Bruce Wayne and Steve Rogers kind of go hand in hand. I promise there's a point to this. It's interesting that Gothopia right now with Batman has this theme of injecting people with the best side of humanity so that they're just seeing all the good and everything, because reading Captain America this week, it's Arnim Zola's daughter, and she just sees, like, the worst.
Yeah.
It's like she is a supervillain's daughter, and she's kind of the Damian Wayne of raised, like, she's the supervillain daughter, but sees the good in Captain America and is trying to go along with Cap's vision for what the world could be like, but keeps seeing humanity as, you know, just kind of crap and weak, and we're all just kind of fluffy and dependent upon someone else, dependent upon the superhero to sweep in and save them, and we can't stand on our own. And I thought that was like a really interesting take this week on the superhero, you know, swing
of
things.
I was fascinated by all the points that they're making in Captain America. I was really digging that book. And again, it's a number one, and I haven't read really much of the last 16, 17 Captain
America.
Didn't
know Sharon died.
Yeah.
That was news. So, yeah.
It gets you all caught up.
Yeah, it gets you caught up. And it was really interesting because, honestly, I started thinking about last night. There was a debate on CNN. We watched it between Bill Nye the Science Guy and Ken Ham, who is a creation scientist, basically. He has this creation museum. So it was like evolution versus creationism. There was this big debate last night. And watching these two worldviews kind of collide on CNN was very interesting. Because I think a lot of people, Christians, have that quote-unquote blind faith. We've been talking, it's kind of been a theme this week, that mm-hmm. blind faith where you really don't know what you believe or why you believe it, but it's like, I just need that hero to swoop in, but you can't stand on your own, and your faith collapses, and we wonder why that next generation's faith is kind of collapsing, because they don't have their own faith to stand on. And so it was really interesting in Captain America, where this person who has basically been raised a super villain is trying to find the good in things, but all she is seeing is these weak-willed people who cannot stand on their own because they've never done anything for themselves. They have this weird blind faith that some superhero is going to swoop in and save the day, when in reality, we live in a corrupt world and bad things still happen. And I think a lot of times when bad things happen in our world, for the believer, we start to question, well, why are bad things happening? Because the hero's supposed to swoop in and save the day, and I don't understand. And it's this genie where you don't really have to do anything yourself because God's going to swoop in and save the day, and so you're not going to have to deal with taxes, and you're not going to have to deal with death, and you're not going to have to deal with all these things, when the truth of the matter is,
you
we
are.
Do.
Yeah.
And we get through them. Like, God doesn't promise that we're going to get escape all this, but he promises to guide us through it. And so we do have to stand, and we do have to walk, and we do have to do these things. So I thought it was really interesting in Captain America that was kind of a theme of superheroes make you weak because you don't have to think for yourself or you don't have to stand up for yourself
wow.
or do anything for
well,
yourself.
Well, now I want to read it.
It's really good.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you brought that up because I was reading it last night and I was like, I hope this is the one Steve-O picked. Because I'm getting the same thing out of it.
It really, it made a lot of sense. Because it's true. We don't stand, you don't even have to, it doesn't even have to be a biblical Christian thing. It could be a government thing. How many people depend upon the government and don't do anything for themselves?
Yeah, zero action.
Nothing, and yeah. Say, you know what, well, I don't need to get a job. The government will take care of this. I don't need to raise my kids well because Sunday school is going to do that for me. And we completely take out personal responsibility.
Yeah, and personal ownership.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so I was like, all right, Captain America.
Okay.
But speaking of personal ownership and responsibility, yeah. Whose idea was it to let Jet Black, daughter of Armin Zola, run around New York City completely, like, unguarded and unwatched?
Right, right.
Ah.
Yeah, so it's really, gosh, I really liked it, and it made me decide to, I think I'm going to start picking up Cap, because I haven't read Captain America since Brubaker left. You know, that was like, that was it for me. I was done, and he did such a fantastic job. It was kind of like Green Lantern when Geoff Johns left. It was like, all right, signing off with you, buddy. I feel like Rick Remender, this is going to be a really good series.
Yeah, that first story arc was cool with Dimension Z. It was a little, like, extraterrestrial and weird,
okay.
So I couldn't fully do it. Coming off the Brubaker run,
okay,
I was like...
Right.
Is that
right.
The one where, was it Arnim Zola got, like, in Cap or something? It was, or somebody was, his face, his consciousness was in Captain America or something? Is that what happened?
Yeah, yeah, that's all part of that story arc.
Okay, whew.
I don't know exactly how it ends, because like I said, I missed the ending, but the first six were kind of cool, and I was like, all right.
All right. I got, but for me, Romita Jr.
Oh, his art is great.
Ah!
Oh!
I love it.
Oh, we got two differing things.
He was in the corner. He
least
can't even take it.
Favorite artist in the world.
All right, hey, let's set it
for
up.
For real.
Look, you guys debate John Romita Jr.'s art, and I'll be the moderator.
Oh, man. All right.
Okay.
All right. First, we're going to go with Max.
Okay.
In three words, you have to say
three words?
Yep. You have to say why you like it. Max, go.
It's unique. It captures the mood really well.
That's more than three words.
That's more than three words, but I'm just going to leave it at that. And I don't know. I like the way that people's like faces are like overshadowed, especially like villains. You can tell like, hey, I'm a villain. Why? Because my face is really shadowed in.
Okay, so we'll say three phrases then.
Okay.
Or three reasons.
Three words.
Let's just do three reasons.
Boxy.
Okay.
Crayons.
Yes.
Caveman.
There you go.
You got something against Caveman?
I hate his art. I'm sorry. Everybody's boxy. Everybody looks exactly the same.
Yes, well, all right.
All their faces, all their faces look the same. He can't draw lips. Like, he's just, everything's
well,
boxy.
Well, it's great for Cap. Red Skull doesn't have any lips.
There you go. Red Skull has no lips. Point, Max.
Touché.
But Steve-O had a point with the boxing. Man. Because his art is... Now, see, I don't... Like, I'm... Either way, that's fine. Because I read Spider-Man when he was on it for years.
Yeah, me too. I read that entire run with JMS and Romita Jr.
Yes, and he was on there before JMS. Like,
yeah.
John Romita Jr. took after his father, John Romita Sr., who was on Spider-Man for a long time. And he did... so long. Like, for years and years, he was the artist... on Amazing Spider-Man, or, at the time, there were four Spider titles.
It was like, yeah, Peter Parker, Spectacular, Amazing.
And Sensational.
Gosh.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Sensational had the late Mike Waringo, who was kind of cartoony, but he was a great artist. But yeah, so it is funny, though, because you always see, like, they announced yesterday that John Romita Jr. and,
Geoff Johns
are doing a new Superman series, and so everybody's like, Geoff Johns! John Romita Jr. And then that's where you see people going, John Romita Jr.
It's going to be interesting because they announced it. It's happening. A brand new Superman with Geoff Johns. It's the best. Man, his run on Superman
was
brilliant. Last Son. Yes, that whole run, like the Bizarro world, everything
New Krypton,
was yes.
War of the Supermen.
Oh!
It was amazing. I'm excited that he's back doing Superman.
So
he's
like a good writer, huh?
But
yeah.
Here's the thing, man.
Yeah, he's pretty good, you know.
Who did the art was Frank, right? What was dang it, what is his name? Now I've totally spaced.
No.
He did Secret Origin as well, and he always draws Superman like Christopher Reeve.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you've got, like, one of the best writers in the world, in my opinion, and one of the worst artists. And so it's like,
it'll be a different interpretation of Reeves.
Yeah. I've come to realize I think I am very abstract with it because I love Humberto Ramos, like, and anybody who makes it kind of like out there different. And to me, his world is very boxy and clear cut, and everything's the same.
You didn't like the cityscapes in Captain America? They were gorgeous.
He is good at backgrounds.
Yeah,
because they're square, so he can draw buildings really well. They're boxy.
Humberto, I saw a few water towers. Those were round. You can do
it. That's true. Humberto Ramos, a lot of people don't like him because of it, and it's for the same reasons that you like him.
Yeah.
Because they give him crap because they're like, it's so freaking out there. He's like a cartoon. What is this?
I love it. I love it.
It's funny. Comic book art is, it's a fine, I don't know, it's so polarizing, and at the same time, it's such a unique art.
Yeah, and I will say, I can stomach it, I can handle it better. Because, like, David Finch, I always thought was incredible, but his faces look, everybody looks exactly the same as well. I think also growing up with Jim Lee, everything was just so defined, and he's my personal favorite. Well, Ryan Ottley's pretty great, too.
Yeah, you got a couple personal favorites.
I got a few favorites. Ryan Ottley, Jim Lee. They're
was it
incredible.
Frank Quietly?
Frank Quietly.
Is he the guy that you were talking about a while ago?
I don't think he did Secret Origin.
No, okay. It was...
I like him, though. Travis Cherist, I like
him. Yeah, Quietly does very round, or very kind of boxy as well, too, doesn't
he? Well, yeah, I'd say more roundy than boxy.
Yeah.
If that's a term.
He's more roundy.
Yeah.
Who did Superman Blue and... Spider-Man
Jeff
Blue,
Loeb,
Superman
Blue,
Tim Sale. I love the way Tim Sale drew Superman. It was kind of cartoony, but it was like, that dude is huge.
Yeah.
You know, he's larger than life.
You're intimidated by him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gary Frank, I was right.
Gary Frank.
It was Frank.
There you go.
Yes.
All right, well, speaking of Captain America and Marvel, I want to talk a little bit about New Avengers.
Yeah, dude, please.
Okay, so did you read it? You read it. And you read it.
Mm-hmm. I did not read it. Somebody clue me in what's going on.
Okay, so we finished Infinity a few issues ago. We talked about that. And this is Hickman, who's one of our favorite writers, too.
Yeah.
And he's like high science and stuff. Like, he probably watched the debate last night.
High science and magic.
He was like, I love it. Well, that's the cool thing because it's been so scientific. And now all of a sudden, this issue stars a dude named Doctor Strange, who we all, like, if you're not familiar with comics, Doctor Strange is total magic, sorcerer, supreme wizard guy.
Right.
So if you didn't
Gandalf.
Yeah, if you didn't like Katy Perry's performance of Dark Horse at the Grammys, you will not like Doctor Strange. Anyway, Doctor Strange comes into play. He's part of the New Avengers, which is like the secret Illuminati thing. Again, you're going to hate it if you didn't like Katy Perry's thing. And we've been seeing so much high science, all these parallel universes and these architects and map makers and all this stuff. And now Doctor Strange is in this different realm bargaining for power to be able to move worlds. And he's trying to help out with the whole, like, worlds colliding incursion thing that's been going on in Infinity. But he's trying to approach it from a magical angle.
Yeah.
Literally selling his soul to do so. We also see another world.
Yeah, it's a slow burn. This whole issue is set in an entirely different universe.
Yeah.
Like, we don't get anywhere closer to any answers or anything because it's basically just a, hey guys, you want to know what it's going to look like when it finally hits our Earth? Let's show you another universe where Doctor Doom and Mr. Fantastic run things, and let's see what happens when we pit them against this other world. Blah, 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 blah. Exactly.
And then we start seeing,
it's Infinite Crisis all over again.
Yeah. Yes. In Infinity, we saw a certain group of... What were those?
The Builders.
Group, the Builders came, and the Builders were like blah, blah, blah. And then there was one character, it was like that weird white girl or whatever with the... I don't know.
Why you gotta go racist?
I know, it's weird.
No, literally, like blank, like white. Like
yeah, she was like a ghost-looking thing. I don't know, she was some kind of alien. And whenever she talked, her word balloons were black with white print in them. Mm-hmm. She's some kind of being. I don't know how to describe her. But she said, well, if you think the Builders were powerful, then you haven't seen the map makers or the architects. And so now these other giant crazies behind with more power behind the Builders are coming forward, and they're starting to come through, and it's just like...
It's crazy.
It's crazy. And so I'm excited because Hickman is now moving away from... So much science, parallel universe, science, and now it's like magic. And which is cool.
New Avengers is one where, you know, you've got like Captain America where it's like man on the street and the oh no, the shop owner's getting beat up in the back alley. Yeah. Better take care of this very minute situation. And then you've got this one where it's like universes and it's yeah. all of existence hangs in the balance and there's like it's crazy because at one point in the beginning in this other universe you got like different universe Magneto and all these guys and I'm going to save the day and they don't have time. They're like disintegrated. And so it's like
they're just obliterated.
It's just this crazy scale of I don't know galactic whatever. I mean it's insane. So it's a whole other realm, if you will, of superhero and trying to save things because it's way beyond us, which was fascinating. I mean, it goes back to even that debate last night talking about like in the galaxy, mm-hmm. how tiny Earth really is, how tiny we really, really are,
yeah.
and thinking about
yeah.
this little globe. And so we're talking in one comic about the guy on the ground, but in another comic, it's like, what does that even matter when an entire world can be destroyed
yeah.
in a blink of an eye?
When universes know, like, are collapsing around yeah. each other. Psh,
psh, psh, psh. It's very, very interesting. Now, on that, getting to the guy on the street,
yeah.
I will say, if that's not your thing, because it's pretty heady.
It is.
One of my absolute favorite books that I'm reading right now came out with issue 8 this week, Superior Foes of Spider-Man. Did you read Superior Foes of Spider-Man?
No, you got our last copy.
Oh!
There you go. How's that for you?
He took it.
This is one of the funniest comic books I've ever read in my entire life. Like yeah? this series. Not this issue particularly, but it reminds me of when I was a kid reading old Deadpool when he was still funny and not overused on everything. When I still thought Deadpool had some sort of anything. Like, way back in the day when he was great. 90s Deadpool, breaking the fourth wall, hilarious. And they're totally destroying Spider-Man's villains because at one point I thought Shocker was actually kind of a cool villain. And now I just can't take it seriously.
It's because in the cartoon in the 90s, Shocker was like...
Yeah!
I'm coming
at you. Man, he'd show
you.
Up, and now it's like, hey, all these B characters, they have to have real jobs. They live in crappy one-bedroom apartments. Here's the real life of a supervillain.
Yeah. It is. It's funny. This is one that I've been keeping up with, but then I just lost interest in.
Because, you know, you think of the movies and okay, like Man of Steel, for instance, the film, he goes and he just obliterates all of New York and nobody bats an eye and you know, General Zod and him throw down. And you think about what that would actually do, like, to a city
yeah,
and to a people.
I've always wondered that.
You're right. And this, to me, this comic is like, what happens? Like, when the cameras turn off, you don't see all the flashy fun. It's like, hey, reality. I got to find some money. I need a job. How am I going to keep the lights on this month? And it's really hilarious because those are things you don't think about when you're reading a comic book. Like, hey, man, how's Peter Parker paying them bills? Like,
well, yeah. Especially not from a villain's perspective.
Yes,
right.
Like, because that's one of the things that I love about Hawkeye. Oh, is yeah. that it's like, yeah. this is me in my apartment building when I'm not with the Avengers.
Right.
I'm a dude with a bow and arrow.
Yeah. Right.
And that's totally what this is. It's like a real world look at these ragtag supervillains that are trying to be.
And
great.
They're not even supervillains.
No, they're just.
They want to be
They're
so
pretty
badly.
Much just criminals with costumes on.
Yeah.
And they're trying to be supervillains, especially Boomerang. He's trying so hard to be this next level villain. And it's just every turn of the corner, just something goes wrong, and you're yeah. like, man.
Yeah.
It is a very funny. It's well written.
It's very well written. Boomerang Myers, he goes on a date this issue. And
don't let... don't.
And that's it. That's what I'm talking about. It's like,
yeah.
Fred Myers is on a date, also known as the supervillain Boomerang, and it's just really funny, and it kind of pulls you away from the crazy world of,
yeah.
of superheroes and galactic scale chaos, and it's just... It's one of my favorite reads right now. Nick Spencer, the guy who's writing it, is also writing Avengers World, so he can do the galactic scale, and he's brilliant. But just his quick wit, there was a Homeland reference in the last issue.
That's
I mean,
hilarious.
Like, it's just so real world that I absolutely love it.
And don't
absolutely
let
love
the
it.
The title is definitely an ironic selling point.
Yeah, because I was about to ask about that.
The Superior Foes of Spider-Man. I think Spider-Man actually popped up in the first issue, and that was it.
Yeah, and they've tried, like in this issue it comes up again, like, you don't understand, I'm an arch nemesis to Spider-Man and nobody knows who he is, and just trying to like make a name for himself and get some recognition that he's like this bad dude. But the cool thing is there's still some really solid points in here. I don't want to spoil anything, but there's some great points about what it would actually take to be a bad guy or a hero. And the characteristics and the qualities, and so many times we focus on the failures and the negativity, and these guys are down on their luck. They can't even pull off a bank heist correctly. They suck at everything. And then this girl comes in and kind of narrates and talks to them about what they've done well and focusing on the positives and the goods to try and like give them a boost in the arm. And so many times we do. We focus on our failures, the negative things, and not whether it's what God has done in our lives or what we've come through, what we've been through, and where we are standing and how we are still living and breathing, and how there's still plenty of time for us to accomplish things. And it was amazing to see Superior Foes kind of take a serious moment. I love it right now. It's great. It's only on, eight now, so...
And the really, one thing, too, it started off, they're trying to be the Sinister Six, and there's only five of them.
Right.
It's hilarious. It's a
you can't even
good.
Get the numbers right.
Well, that's the best part, though, because you don't want... It's the mystery of it. That's one of my favorite jokes about it, is they're supposed to be the Sinister Six. There's only five. They refuse to get a sixth person because they can't trust each other because they're bad guys.
Right. And so the first issue, I think, is the one where Spider-Man was in it, because they actually were in an issue of Superior Spider-Man, and then this series started. And Doc Ock has taken control of Peter Parker's body, and he was so offended that this little group was calling themselves the Sinister Six, and he just whooped their butts.
Right.
Just whooped them all. It was like, you don't deserve to call yourselves the Sinister Six, and there's only five of you. It's pretty funny.
It's really great, and it's a departure, of course, still set in the Marvel universe. But
it's a good little escape. If you're looking for a funny read, check out Superior Foes of Spider-Man.
Yeah, everything else is so galactic scale. So, Forever Evil this week?
Yeah, speaking of galactic scale.
Did you read Forever
Evil? I did read Forever Evil. Man. Of course I read Forever Evil.
Yeah, DC, tell us.
Ah, man. Well, you got to see Black Adam lay the smackdown on somebody. That was kind of cool.
That was very cool. Yeah. And Sinestro being Sinestro was
amazing. Oh, man. That was awesome.
Amazing.
I was waiting for that one.
Yeah, it's funny because these people that you love to hate, these villains, are kind of taking center stage as the heroes. And, you know, big spoiler alert, coming up in the future, we know for the Justice League series, it's already been announced that Lex Luthor is going to be a part of the Justice League.
What?
And so it's interesting to see this character evolving as like, hey, I'm a supervillain. Wait, those are the real bad guys. I guess I'm not as bad as I thought. I'm going to have to do something about this, because when nobody else is standing up for what's right, I guess I got to stand.
Yeah, I don't know if he's standing up for what's right or if it's like, it's my world to control.
There you go.
And you're from another dimension, so I'm going to have to, you know, take you down.
I'm loving the relationship between Batman and Lex Luthor, and seeing how that's going to carry over into the new Justice League series.
Yeah.
Because you can already see they're both leaders and they both want to lead.
And they're both so similar.
Right.
They both use manipulation,
fear,
and money to get what they want.
And all the characters are kind of pointing that out to Batman, like, man, you'd have been a great Yellow Lantern. Man, you'd have been a great... And so it's like, Batman has all the makeups to be an incredible villain, but chose good.
Yeah.
Or is he? Because it's fear-based, and it's, you know, and so...
Yeah, it's like those necessary evils to achieve a greater good.
It's very interesting what's happening with Forever.
And there's a little joke in there. One of the things says, he's not so scary in the light.
Right.
And then he goes, I mean, ever.
Captain Cold.
Never scary. He's talking about Batman.
Yeah, dude, I'm a fan of the way Geoff Johns writes, because he can take those very serious moments and then just have really quick humor, and but it never stops it never slows it down, it keeps going.
Yeah, it never jars you out of the book. You're like, of course, Captain Cold's in the background, you know, talking. That's what he does.
That's who he is.
And what do you think about the ending of Forever Evil? We have Ultraman, Superwoman, like,
now it's like, oh, we really see what's going on, because now it's like, oh, Oh, there was a bigger reason for them
Galactus is about to show up.
Yeah.
Because he destroyed their universe. Wait, no, I'm sorry. I'm so confused.
It's pretty funny. Check out Forever Evil because we learned that there's another, there's a bigger reason as to why the crime syndicate, right?
Yeah.
Came over into this universe and dismantled everything.
I'm looking forward to it. It's funny because lost in all of this, as we talk about like the human being versus the galactic scale, to me, what I had totally forgotten and had been lost in is Nightwing, who's one of my favorite characters in the DC Universe. He's kind of nowhere right now. The last few issues...
Where is Nightwing?
And at the end, it's like, there's the checklist for, like, Nightwing's final fate. And I'm like, Nightwing's final fate? Screw that. I want the world to still exist. So at this point, I don't even care. So it's kind of like this weird... I don't know.
Well,
I'm
they
like
even have that conversation in there. Yeah. You know, Lex is like, we got to go stop him. And Batman's like, no, we got to go save Nightwing.
Right. And it's like, Nightwing? We might not have an Earth. Who cares about one dude? Yeah. You know?
Who cares about your ex-partner? Like, right. We got bigger issues, literally bigger issues to deal with.
Yeah,
it's really interesting to see that theme of like, I'm not going to go political. It's the caring for the common man versus keeping the economy together. It's like, who cares about the one dude who can't get a job? We need to just plug it all into this whole economy system. And it's like, no, but the one man, let's give him this handout. He needs our help. Who cares about your fellow man? We got a whole world to save. So does it start by saving the one man, or do we just have to go big or go home?
Batman is the answer.
Yeah.
It's always Batman.
I'm going to take Lex Luthor in this one.
Yeah, it's an interesting commentary, right? So, yeah, I love it. And then, of course, speaking of wars, finally, Green Arrow. Man.
So good.
Do you watch Arrow, the
TV?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I feel, I absolutely love what's happening in Green Arrow, but I do definitely feel like after the success of Arrow, it's hard to read the comic without just going, wait, what's the continuity here again? Diggle, okay. Because Roy, where is Felicity? Wait, that's the TV series.
You want them in the book, though.
I do.
You want them in the book.
And so, I honestly, this book threw me for a loop for a second because I forgot of the continuity of Roy Harper and the past and the previous teaming up. And because he looks like he's 12 in the comic. He's drawn like a 12-year-old.
He's a tiny little Green Arrow.
Isn't he fresh off the island? How long was he teamed up with Diggle and Roy Harper? When did that happen?
Somewhere in the past 5 years.
Okay.
All of DC happened somewhere in the past 5 years.
Which is frustrating.
Yeah.
So in the midst of this incredible storyline, that did throw me off. You know, because it's still those moments where I'm wanting to love it, but remembering that DC totally blew up the universe and decided to start fresh, and yet there's so many continuity issues that I'm like, no!
And it doesn't help that Oliver's dad looks a lot like old Oliver.
Exactly!
He's got the little goatee and the little mustache.
Looks exactly like Oliver Queen. Yeah. He showed up, and I was like, wait a second! It threw me way off.
That threw me way off.
But it was very interesting to see...
But I'm not totally convinced it was his dad.
Right.
Part of me wants to believe that that's Ollie from the old universe.
And I can't I can't discuss it biblically without spoiling too much. Because there's a big theme going on here with what the father does to prepare the son. And there's so many times where we go through something and we question where God is and why God allowed something to happen in our lives. But those moments that... we think are going to destroy us. Usually, they end up defining us, and you see Ollie go through all these things in the comic to prepare him to become a superhero, and to see how it was orchestrated. And in hindsight, you're like, man, that's messed up. But it made them the person they are today. And so, taking my faults, my failures, the times where I have felt alone or felt like, you know, where's God, and then seeing how that shaped me. And how God was there and got me through. It's interesting to see the commentary of, no, but that's messed up. You can't do that to me, Dad. You know?
Yeah.
And so, because we do get frustrated, we do tend to think, why is this happening? What is it doing? And it really, those are those defining character building moments that are going to make or break us. And so it's really interesting what's happening in Green Arrow.
Yeah, I think it goes back to a lot of what you were saying about the superior foes of Spider-Man, where we tend to look at only the bad.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I went through this terrible experience, not the good that came out
right
on the other side of it.
Right. Right. Not that, yeah, we are focused on like the stitches and the surgery, not what was cut out that was bad or, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
you're focused on the
reference.
Pain of the surgery, not, you know, the fact that your life was saved or that something, you know, so it's been very thematic in the books this week, and not on purpose, at least not to my knowledge.
That's right, guys. And we're not talking about deep theological books. We're talking about comic books.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
In case you just tuned in. Awesome. And I want, you know, we haven't gotten a lot of time to do this, but there's a lot of film and television comic related news that we have got to talk about.
Yeah.
Because this past weekend or whatever, they announced that Jesse Eisenberg is playing Lex Luthor. And that Jeremy Irons is playing Alfred.
Yeah.
That part's cool.
Yeah. Official announcement.
And I think that's what everybody said. Everybody's like, Jeremy Irons is Alfred. It's awesome. What?
Yeah. What happened with Lex Luthor?
Jesse Eisenberg?
I will say this. If you've seen The Social Network, Jesse Eisenberg, who plays Mark Zuckerberg, was brilliant at playing that, well, brilliant mind, playing that genius that
manipulative.
Was.
Manipulative.
Yeah. And kind of. I hate to say Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, is Lex Luthor, but he really did have all those characteristics of just the loner, the do whatever it takes, kind of socially awkward. And if you're taking a look at the character of Lex Luthor, if he's really the most brilliant mind, then he'd probably graduate MIT when he was 12, you know, something like that. And so Jesse Eisenberg looking that young, I'm really trying to justify it because I'm freaking out because that is not who I wanted.
You're working hard over there.
Looking at you, Bryan Cranston.
Right.
He would have been brilliant.
Yeah. Would have been awesome.
Or Benedict Cumberbatch. He would have been a great Lex Luthor.
But see, even he looks would've. Young, too.
Yeah.
He's a young-looking
but,
dude.
But, I mean, you know, like, I guess they... How old is Lex Luthor in relation to Superman? Like, are they around the same age?
I mean, they supposedly
depends on
grew
what,
up in Smallville together.
Right.
Okay.
And they're the same age in real life. Henry Cavill and Jesse Eisenberg are the same age.
They are
the
same age.
They're the same age.
Okay, well, then I understand that a little bit.
Yeah.
I get it a little bit.
But Henry Cavill looks like a man.
Check this out, though. That's true. That is very true. Hey, at least it's not Michael Cera, you know?
Yeah, it could have been worse.
They're the same person. What
somehow,
do you mean?
Somehow Michael Cera looks more like a fifth grader than Jesse Eisenberg. I don't know how he does it, but it just happens. Anyway, think of the relationship that's going to be between Lex Luthor and Bruce Wayne. That's what I can't wait to see because Bruce Wayne's going to be Ben Affleck. He's going to be older, you know, obviously a little more seasoned. But then you've got this young upstart Lex Luthor, younger businessman type who's super manipulative, who's very successful. I can't wait to see that because you know they're going to be button heads.
Yeah, very true.
That's going to be cool.
I actually hard to get me excited again.
Yeah.
It's hard to see a kid go up against Superman.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But I'll tell you this. When they announced that Heath Ledger was cast as the Joker,
I rioted.
I was like, the guy from that cowboy movie?
The guy from 10 Things I Hate About You?
Who did this?
Yeah.
And that got, you know, that was pretty good.
It worked out.
it worked out pretty well.
That one worked out.
It was a good casting choice. So I guess I've learned to wait and see. So we'll see. I'm still going to see the film,
Speaking
obviously.
Speaking of casting choices, we'll never get to see Philip Seymour Hoffman be the Penguin or anything awesome. And that sucks.
That was like a couple weeks ago where we said that on air.
No, I know.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, perfect for the Penguin or not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really sad. And once
or Dr. Octopus.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
I know.
Yeah.
That sucks. Another thing that's going on, let's talk about the trailers on the Super Bowl, Max. What'd you think?
Oh, man. Winter Soldier is going to be the last movie I ever see, because after that I'm going to be done. I will need no more movies.
Yeah. Ed Brubaker, former writer of Captain America, he's already seen it and said that it's like the best.
The Falcon looks so
cool. Did you know that he's in the trailer? Ed Brubaker is in the trailer.
I didn't see him.
When the Winter Soldier's laying on that table, Ed Brubaker is this scientist right here.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, somebody pointed it out on something.
Well, no wonder he loved it.
That's
then. He's
pretty
in
cool.
the movie.
Yeah, well, he had said in an interview, he was like, they let me be in a scene.
That's
it's pretty
so great.
Cool. Yeah. And the Spider-Man, they released, it was a short little clip during the Super Bowl and with Winter Soldier, short little clip. But then online, there was longer.
Yeah, the 4 minute.
Trailer.
Did you see that one?
The Spider-Man?
I did. Yeah, after I overheard you and Scooter talking about it.
The Max Dillon origin is interesting.
Yeah.
I'm stoked about it.
I mean, it makes sense, though. I mean, it sets up like. Yeah. His relationship with what it's going to be with Spider-Man, you know?
Yeah, it's very interesting. But if you don't want to ruin The Amazing Spider-Man 2, don't watch the 4-minute trailer because I feel like I've seen a lot.
Yeah, there's
at
a lot
this
of
point.
Movie.
I try and shy away from trailers.
It's true.
For a reason.
You see
and
a lot
I
of stuff.
I seriously feel like I could script out Amazing Spider-Man 2 pretty well at this point.
Well, we still don't really know what's going on with Harry and how all that stuff goes on.
That's true. That's
and
very
there's
true.
Still the question up in the air, is Gwen going to bite it or not? But there was something in the trailer that really led me to believe that she is.
Really?
Yes. There's a very quick scene.
See, that, I was opposite. When no, he's when he does the pssst and
I'll have to show
swings
you the,
back around to grab her.
I'll have to show you the thing I okay. saw. There's a very quick thing. And it's actually a reaction from Peter, and I was like, oh, there's only one thing that would make him do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm stoked about that. And then there was even a little Transformers trailer.
Yeah.
With a Dinobot in it.
That's gonna
a
just
couple
be fun.
Of them.
That's
yeah.
gonna be
awesome.
Was that a Dinobot? I thought that was Mechagodzilla. Grimlock
well
was
said.
Huge.
Well said.
That's one thing I will say. Grimlock, you don't normally he didn't ride Grimlock in, yeah. in the cartoon. It was like, oh wow, that's a dinosaur. That's huge.
Yeah. That's
a
huge.
I mean, I'm excited because it's yeah. giant robots. But,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
On the flip side, I will say, Michael Bay, we're staring at you for Ninja Turtles. Gosh.
We'll see what happens.
The reveal of what they look like to me, I'm really hesitant to even want to see it.
You're not down with the Mikey bling?
I really don't.
Mikey
I
bling.
I really don't think I want to see it.
With the gold chains?
Ugh.
Last
it
thing,
looks terrible.
We watched S.H.I.E.L.D. last night.
Yeah.
Steve-O and I did. I don't think you did you, Max?
No, I did not.
No, you did not. S.H.I.E.L.D. is stepping up the game.
It is.
That's all I want to say.
I'm still way more excited for tonight because of Arrow.
It's
but,
Arrow.
But, yeah, one thing about S.H.I.E.L.D. last night, you know, they had Stan Lee on the episode for 0.8 seconds and doing his one line. And they interviewed him and asked him why he thought it wasn't as successful as it could be. And his big response is, they need more superheroes. And I agree wholeheartedly because I enjoyed it last night, but it's nowhere near Arrow because they use the characters from the comics, and I still don't really care about any of the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. I really don't. Because it's like, yeah, you're a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. I don't care. Cool, man. Great.
Yeah, well, and they're like, because they're always like in the background of comics, yeah. like, you
right,
know,
right.
doing like paperwork.
Yeah,
and
milling around.
Stuff.
What
yeah.
are they doing? Yeah, but then something
crashing
happened
helicarriers.
In this episode,
this
and
is
it
very
was
true.
Like, wait a second, maybe I do care about one of these.
But
characters.
I would rather watch a Deathlock series than a S.H.I.E.L.D. series
yes,
with Deathlock
true.
In it. You yeah. know what I mean? If it was called Deathlock and it was about Deathlock, I'd be like, cool, man. But
yeah.
I'm having a hard time with it being so focused on this. It just doesn't seem, it seems campy still. And you get an episode or two and all of a sudden it's like, join us in March. And I'm like, March?
March!
The next episode isn't until March. We just got an episode for the first time. And, you know, so I know the Olympics had something
it's
to do
the
with
Olympics.
That. But
well, my hope for the series, and I don't think it's as good as Arrow. Like, I don't anymore.
Yeah, at all.
I'm not going to try to pretend like it is.
Yeah.
But my hope is that because it's you know, so, like, the heroes are so absent that we'll be able to look back once all the movies have come out. We'll be able to look back and be thankful for a little, like, foundational groundwork yeah. being laid within the universe. And we do know that there's going to be more appearances. Like, Sif is going to be on it. There's another Thor character. I can't remember her name. Lorelei or something like that.
Yeah.
And then Deathlock is starting to come around. So hopefully it's doing just a lot of ground foundational yeah. work. And then later it'll be like, boom, more stuff.
I think they need to make up their mind because it's on one hand, you know, back to comics, Superior Foes of Spider-Man is over here. You've got Gotham Central, which Ed Brubaker wrote, which was brilliant. And then over here, you got the big, massive universe, crazy Marvel stuff. And it seems like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can't decide if they want to be funny ground level or if they want to be huge, big scale Marvel universe.
Yeah.
And they're trying to put them together and it's not working.
There's been
if it was a comedy and it was like,
yeah.
you know, or just, hey, we're off on our own doing our own thing, but they want to mix the universes together, but you're trying to see the simple man with the galactic scale of like Thor, and it doesn't
yeah.
really work.
It doesn't work.
I don't know. Those are my thoughts.
It has been less funny the past few episodes, I'll say that.
Yeah,
but the show has been better.
Yeah.
You never know.
All right. That's it for us.
That's it for us. That's it for the whole thing.
It's 8:55.
It's 8:55. Shock Therapy Live is coming up soon.
Comics Corner brought to you by Astro Zombies, 3100 Central Avenue Southeast, astrozombies.com. You off to work?
I am off to work. It's new comic book day, man. I got to go.
Yeah, this
yeah,
is very
true.
I got to go take what we just did here,
yeah.
out there,
yeah,
You gotta take it to the people, man.
Wednesday's the big day for comics, so there you go.
Love Wednesdays.
And always big thanks to Astros for what you guys do and for giving us awesome books to review. Well,
thank you guys for
and
what
our,
you
do. Our friend Max does a YouTube series where he reviews comic books, and he actually discusses some books that we don't necessarily talk about here. So I posted a link on our Facebook. What's it called? Max's Super Awesome Comic Review Show.
Boom! There you go.
You can find it on our Facebook.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Get there. Check it out. We're done.
We done, though, y'all.
Of course, I'm not. Up next, we have Shock Therapy Live with Pastor Nate Heitzig. We got questions already. If you would like to get a question in for Shock Therapy Live, studio@MyStaticRadio.com. Yeah.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
I learned a lot today.
There you go.
And you did, too.
I guess I did.
And now I learned that we have to go.
We really do.
Yep.
It's 8:56.
Thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Thanks for coming in, Max.
All right. That's it. You can check out our podcast, mysticradio.com/mornings. It's Team Austin Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static.